This presentation is about the Antiquities Act of 1906. The Antiquities Act of 1906 is important because it's the first piece of legislation that protected archaeological sites and monuments around the country. The timing of the Antiquities Act was not random. Note that it was passed in 1906, which, if you remember your American history, was during the administration of Theodore Roosevelt. You may also remember that Theodore Roosevelt was president during the first wave of environmental and conservation legislation in the United States. He founded the National Park System and the Forest Service. And so the Antiquities Act, as a law designed to promote the conservation of archaeological and historical monuments, is thematically of a piece with the other conservation legislation that became popular at the time. Of course, it took a number of years and a number of drafts before the law was finally passed. The campaign to develop and promote the law was led by a number of archaeologists, including Edgar Lee Hewitt, who were inspired to attempt this in part by the previous passage of similar legislation in Europe and other countries. There's a nice history of the Antiquities Act that's posted on the National Park Service webpage, and if you're interested in the history of the law, I encourage you to consult it. The Antiquities Act, however, is not purely of historical interest. It still continues to affect our lives today and our politics. In other words, the law remains in effect, it has not been repealed, and it continues to generate political controversy. The law is quite brief. If you'll note from the copy that's posted on the Blackboard website, it's less than a page long. It has four provisions that are significant to us in this class. It protects ruins and monuments on federal land from unauthorized excavation or destruction. In other words, it makes it illegal to damage or affect or excavate archaeological ruins, sites, and monuments on federal lands without a permit. It provides for fines and jail time for violating the law. Naturally enough, it also provides a mechanism for obtaining permits for bona fide, legitimate, legal excavations. In addition, it provides or requires the curation of artifacts that are recovered from those excavations, that is, legal excavations. Finally, it authorizes the president in his sole discretion, that is, without congressional approval, advice, or consent, to declare national monuments. In other words, the president can name and create national monuments without congressional approval. This tends to be controversial. It gives the president a great deal of power, and Congress perennially objects to this. It seems that almost every time the president declares a national monument, there's some kind of congressional revolt about it. But, and in fact, Congress has sued the president a number of times, even in recent years, in order to try to overturn his declaration of a national monument. However, the Supreme Court has consistently ruled in favor of the president, and so the Antiquities Act has remained valid, and presidents, including Presidents Bush and Obama, have declared national monuments. There's a list with the chronology of the naming or declaration of national monuments on the National Monument webpage, which is part of the National Park Service website, because the National Park Service manages and maintains national monuments. Note that national monuments declared under the authority of the Antiquities Act are not necessarily archaeological or historical, partly or completely. They can be areas of scenic natural beauty or environmental concern. National monuments, as I said, are administered by the National Park Service, but they're not national parks. They're not national landmarks. They're a separate type of property, although they are, in fact, as a matter of practice and law, administered by the National Park Service. So the reasons why the Antiquities Act of 1906 remains significant today is that even though some of its archaeological protection provisions have been superseded by similar but more recent and more comprehensive laws, nevertheless, they remain on the books, or the Antiquities Act remains on the books, and can be enforced. Moreover, presidents continue to declare national monuments, and so, you know, this is a very active and important piece of law. For practicing archaeologists, this is significant because the collections, the archaeological collections of artifacts and samples that have been made under the authority of Antiquities Act permits are still being curated around the country. Interestingly enough, there is no comprehensive list of projects, archaeological projects, that were conducted under the authority of Antiquities Act permits that were issued over the years. And so these collections sometimes come to light. Sometimes museums have been curating them for 50 or 100 years and don't necessarily or not necessarily very aware of the fact that these collections actually are federal collections because they were made under the terms of an Antiquities Act permit. When these come to light, the federal government actually turns out to have some responsibility for them and often gets involved in making sure that they're properly curated. I myself have been involved in some cases like this involving the Harvard Peabody Museum and some other major museums when I was working for the federal government, and so I know it comes up in practice. So, to summarize, the Antiquities Act continues to protect archaeological sites and ruins on federal land by prohibiting unauthorized excavation or looting on those lands. It provides an administrative mechanism or protocol for obtaining a permit for legitimate and bona fide excavations of such sites. It requires the curation of artifacts collected under Antiquities Act permits, and it authorizes the president in his sole discretion to declare national monuments. Please make sure that you read the Antiquities Act, and I've posted a copy for you on Blackboard. Note that, as with most federal laws, there are associated regulations. As I explained elsewhere, laws, federal laws, as well as state laws, often provide for some branch of the executive branch of government, to issue regulations for the practical implementation of a law, and that is the case with the Antiquities Act. The regulations for the Antiquities Act, which I've also posted on Blackboard, are located in Title 43 of the Code of Federal Regulations, Subtitle A, Part 3, and those regulations expand upon some of the provisions of the Antiquities Act and do things like provide more specific penalties for violations of the Act. So you should take a look at those too. Thanks very much. Make sure you read the associated PowerPoint presentation.